Our lesson this morning is out of Romans chapter 5, verses 13 through 21, the contrast between Adam and Christ. The theme of the epistle to the Romans is that God's righteousness is available to man by faith from start to finish. That's Romans 1, 16 and 17. This belief is often not accepted in Christendom. Some claim that one must have faith plus works to be justified. Others say that though we're justified by faith, we cannot righteously live a godly life by faith. Romans chapter 5, verses 13 to 21, Paul discussed the applicability of justification, contrasting Adam in his fall into sin that enslaved his seed in sin and death, and Christ, whose death on the cross releases believers from sin and death. So we view the passage for our insight, our application, and our edification. I'd like to look to God in prayer, and then we'll get into his word. Lord, we're so grateful for the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, and as we get into this passage that contrasts the fall of the human race through Adam and the salvation that is offered through faith in Jesus Christ, they would come to appreciate anew the tremendous work of Christ on the cross and the enormity of the salvation that we have in Christ, that we might relax in our Savior first of all, then glorify our Lord, and then live lives of affirmation, of victory in view of the tremendous darkness and evil in which we live in this world. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Romans chapter 5, 13 to 21. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed or reckoned when there's no law. Nevertheless, death reigned over from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him who was to come. But not as the offense, so is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God, the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. Not as if it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men unto condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men to justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, that is, that it might appear to be abounding. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin is reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, to prepare to contrast Adam with Christ, Paul had to clarify that people who were begotten by Adam and who lived before the Mosaic law was instituted sinned, even though God had not yet given his Mosaic law that defined sin to be sin. The evidence that sin existed between Adam and the law is the fact that all human beings who lived in that period of time died, and death is the result of sin. Obviously, when the great flood came, Noahic flood, there were probably billions of people on the earth at the time because of the longevity of man. So there were billions of people that died. Now, even though there was no law that had defined that they had sinned. Otherwise, God wouldn't have caused them to be destroyed in the law, in the flood. So sin did reign even though there hadn't been a law at that time. However, the dreadful destiny of all humans who came from Adam's line was wonderfully intercepted by Jesus Christ for all who put their trust in him, who believe in him as their savior from sin and death. This contrast is closely discussed by Paul in Romans 5, 15 to 21 as follows. First of all, by Adam's one trespass, many died, but much more the gift of justification and its blessings by the grace of Christ overflowed to the many who put their trust in him for salvation. You know, it's interesting. I've received feedback from people who have talked with unsaved people or people who don't know Christ as their Savior, and they say, wait a minute, it's so unfair for me to have inherited a sin nature. I didn't make the decision to eat from the fruit. Adam did. So how come I get blamed for Adam's sin? Well, it is an unfortunate fact that we inherit the sin nature of Adam. But when God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, he evened the playing field. Just as Adam had a choice between eating of the forbidden fruit, which is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or eating of the tree of life. And remember, if he had eaten of the tree of life, God would have closed off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil because God wouldn't want him to live forever in sin. The tragedy of Adam is he chose the wrong tree. Now, what God is doing to us today, he's giving us the chance that Adam had, except the gospel's different. For us, God wants us to believe in Christ. We individually have that choice. Now, if we choose to reject Christ, like Adam chose to reject the right tree and he chose the wrong tree, then there are consequences eternally. But we don't have to do that. We individually can make the choice to believe in Christ as our Savior. And when we do, then we are justified. We are completely given salvation. So God is even the playing field. Yes, we inherited a sin nature from Adam. We would say from our human perspective, that's not fair. God says, you're in a terrible situation, but I'm a good God. I'm going to send my Son. He's going to die a terrible death for your place, pay for your sin, rise again from the dead. All you need to do is believe in him, and then I forgive you and I make you give you salvation. So this is a wonderful thing. Adam's one trespass, many died. But much more the gift of justification and its blessings by the grace of Christ overflowed to the many who put their trust in him for salvation. Verse 15. Now, by Adam's one trespass came condemnation upon all men, but the gift of eternal life by faith in Christ followed many trespasses of many people, addressing all of them in Christ's work on the cross, so as to justify completely of all sin and all acts of sin anyone who trusts in Christ for salvation. This is an amazing fact. Adam committed one act of sin, and he blew it for everybody. What Jesus Christ did was turn around and bear upon his body on the cross all the sins of every human being who lives in history, past, present, and future. And he completely covered that and assuaged the wrath of God the Father against that, so that when we believe in Christ, every single sin that we've ever committed is cleaned up. And then as believers, once we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, if we can continue to commit acts of sin, as we confess those, each one of those is cleared up because of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the work of Christ on the cross was absolutely mammoth in dealing with this. And I have a closing illustration at the end of this lesson that pictures that. By Adam's one trespass, death reigned through that one man over the entire human race. But much more did those who received God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign through the one man, Jesus Christ. By Adam's one trespass, all men stood condemned to eternal damnation by God. But by Christ's work of redemption on the cross, all who believe in Christ are brought eternal life. This is a wonderful thing. I remember hearing the testimony of an SS officer in World War II who was responsible for gunning Jews down as they stood over the grave pits, and then they were supposed to cover the bodies and whatnot. And his conscience, when he came to know Christ as his Savior, his conscience bothered him terribly because of the atrocities that he had been involved with. And then he recognized one time that he was actually forgiven all trespasses. All of that he'd been involved with it was under the blood. It was completely cleared. And his conscience relieved himself of that terrible background. That's an amazing thing what the cross of Jesus Christ does. It purges from all sin and all depths of sin, no matter how great, no matter how little. It's all covered. And that's by the grace of God. Now, by Adam's one trespass, all men stood condemned to eternal damnation by God, but by Christ's work of redemption on the cross, all who believe in Christ are brought eternal life. It's interesting, eternal life. After about 1,000 years, he's not going to say, you know, I changed my mind. These people really don't deserve to be here. Your time in heaven has ended. You know, you go to the other. 10 trillion, 50 trillion years from now, God will be totally satisfied with the work of Christ on the cross, and he'll be totally satisfied with your presence in heaven if you've accepted Christ as your Savior. The forgiveness of God is something that is complete. And the coverage of the cross of Jesus Christ over our sin is complete. There's nothing left. In fact, if you bring up the sin that you did to God, God will say, what sin? In fact, the Bible says in one place, God says, I take your sins and I put them between my shoulder blades. Now, the only time you can see between your shoulder blades is if you have two mirrors, a mirror in front of you and a mirror up behind you, and you can see, because of the reflection, you can see your shoulder blade, but you don't have the human capacity to turn your neck around and look between your shoulder blades. No one has ever done that. So when God says, I put your sins between my shoulder blades, it's out of sight, out of mind. It's gone. And God says, what's in? That's a wonderful truth. And then number five, by Adam's disobedience of God and eating the forbidden tree in Genesis 2, 16 and 17, many were constituted to be sinners due to original sin, but by Christ's obedience of God in going to the cross, and remember Matthew 26, 39, Jesus was in agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, Father, if it's possible for this cup to pass from me, please, but not my will, but yours be done. It was an agony. Jesus humanly did not want to have to deal with the cross because he was going to be separated from the Father for the first time in eternity. He would be bearing the sins. He would be made sin for us. But he went through the cross. That was the Father's will. To provide redemption for mankind, many will be made righteous through the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then number six, God added the Mosaic law that sin might be seen from our perspective to have increased. It really didn't increase from God's perspective, but we only know sin when we see the law set up, and the law says, this is sin, this is sin, this is sin, and we see, whoa, I've blown it all over the place. And so God added the Mosaic law that sin might be seen to have increased, but where sin increased, God's grace increased all the more. For as sin reigned in death through Adam, in Christ God's grace reigns through righteousness to bring eternal life to men through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the lesson is, when Adam committed his one act of sin, eating of the forbidden fruit, he caused the entire human race to inherit a sin nature, leading to God's eternal condemnation, the commitment of numerous sins and trespasses by the human race after him, followed by physical death and eternal damnation. That's the sorry plight of the human race if left to itself. However, where sin did abound, God's unmerited favor, that's his grace, did much more abound. Christ's atonement for sin on the cross, applied to the sinner who believes in him, judicially covers that sinner's original sin in his inherited sin nature. It also forgives all his trespasses committed by him. It provides him righteousness in place of his sin and supplies him with victory over death and sin and God's gift of eternal life. Christ's work on the cross is so great that it has the capacity to handle all sins ever committed by all human beings in history, were they to believe in him. Just think about your own sins. I mean, we can think about the sins of other people. Think about our own sins. Think of the number of sins that we individually have committed. Those were all put on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the sins that we may commit yet before the rapture of the church, when God removes the sin nature, all of those have already been put on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just an amazing thing. All we need to do is to believe in Christ and we have eternal life. Every religion except biblical Christianity says this is too good to be true. So we need to help God out. I need to do something to help, because only if I can do something to help is it fair for Jesus. Well, from God's perspective, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So the best works that we have to do cannot begin to measure up to the requirements of God the Father. So what happens is we are completely at the mercy of God. So God sends his Son. His Son does the complete job. He does a perfect work with a perfect track record and everything. infinitely covers our sins. So we are given as a gift eternal life when we merely believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in application, what Adam did in his one act of sin is like a man taking a feather-stuffed pillow up to the top of the Empire State Building in New York City. I was up there once, a long time ago. That's way up in the air. Cutting it open and emptying its feathers over the side of the building for the wind to scatter them across the city. Incidentally, don't do that. It's a violation of the law in New York. They will throw the book at you if you do such a thing, okay? But I'm just using this as an illustration. Christ's work on the cross was like going out and picking up all the scattered feathers from all over the city of New York, putting them in a new pillowcase. And incidentally, not only the city of New York, but this is also Central Park. It might be hard to find some of those feathers, and some of them might be out on the water somewhere. Christ's work on the cross was like going out and picking up all the scattered feathers, putting them in a new pillowcase, and giving it free of charge to whoever believes in him. We need, therefore, to marvel at God's grace, that's his unmerited favor to us, and thank him for his mercy toward us in Jesus Christ our Lord. This shows us the love of God. The love of God is infinite, and God loves every human being with an infinite love. He has completely taken care of the issue of sin. It's not a matter of our losing our salvation someday if we're not good enough. That's a done deal. That's covered. God knows the beginning. He knows the ending. He knows everything that we have done. He knows everything we're even going to do. And his salvation still is complete. So what we need to do is, first of all, rest. There are so many Christians who live in fear that they're going to lose their salvation, or if they can do something that is going to disrupt God's love for them, and he'll give up on them, and he'll change his mind and send them to hell. Nuh-uh. Once you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're born into the family of God. Once you're born into the family of God, you're a child of God. You don't undo that. You go into eternity with the Father. So the sins and our salvation is something that is a done deal. Now with that should come also an attitude of thanksgiving to God. We owe God thanksgiving. We owe him praise for the rest of our lives and for the rest of our existence because of his tremendous salvation towards us. But along with that comes a tremendous sense of obligation to live righteously. If God has gone through this extensive amount of effort to save us from sin, then it only makes sense that he doesn't want us to continue to sin. If that's the case, we are obliged by the Lord to rely upon the Holy Spirit to live lives that are righteous. So if we're living in sin now, or if we've committed sin, what God wants us to do is to confess it to the Lord Jesus Christ, confess it to him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, find forgiveness, then rely upon the Lord to begin living a life that is righteous right now. And that's something that is very pleasing to God our Father. So this has lots of ramifications. The application of this it's infinite. Any way you look at it, it's infinite. But God has gone through great lengths to give us salvation. So what we need to do is to praise him, to thank him, but then to live righteously in the power of the Spirit of God. Okay, we're going to open it up now for questions or feedback. If you have questions or feedback in regards to this particular lesson, fine. If there's something else that has come up, if you have a concern or a question on something else, feel free to ask that. I like to treat this part of our Sunday school kind of like a home Bible study, where people feel free to ask questions and we can answer them on any issue that comes up. The reason I do this is I not only am interested in handling questions that you have, but it also shows me where people are at. And when I'm interacting with people this way and I understand where you're at, it equips me to be better at discern how to minister, how to apply the Word of God so that it really addresses human needs. And that's what we want to do. So we'll just open it up to you. Yes, Liz.